The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born from above. The wind blows where it wills, and you can hear the sound it makes, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can this happen?" Jesus answered and said to him, "You are the teacher of Israel, and you do not understand this? Amen, amen, I say to you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but you people do not accept our testimony. If I tell you about earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has gone up to heaven except the one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord. Okay, there's a lot going on in that Gospel passage. And I think it's quite open to, I think, misunderstanding, because no matter how hard we try, we keep falling back on our own understanding of the terms that are used, right? So we saw right at the end, "so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." And we thought, oh yes, I'm going to get to go to heaven when I die. And I'm going to say again, no, that's not the point of the passage, right? The point of the passage is that you have a share in God's own life here and now, okay? So let's stop, carrying on about our own dreams and designs, and let's live into God's plan. I think perhaps one of the reasons from within the realm of religion, even right religion, that we do this, pushing God off into this far off place where, I hope against hope to join him one day. One of the reasons why we do this is because we really don't want to grapple with what it would mean for us to share in God's life now with all the responsibilities that it enjoins. Okay, so who knows what I'm going to do now? Should I go to the first reading? Did you like it or no? I like it a lot, right? But I'm also not scared of being called a communist, even though it's not the right thing to call me, okay? But look at what happens, right? I mean, the example of Joseph Barnabas is pretty significant, right? He sold a piece of property that he owned, then brought the money and put it at the feet of the apostles. How much of the money did he put at the feet of the apostles, do you think? All of it. Yeah. So we don't really like that. Do I have to say that in my preaching? We don't really like that. We don't like the fact that actually everything belongs to God. And everything that he's given us ought to be used for his purposes. Everything. There's not one thing that he's given us that should not be used for his purposes. And the challenge is real. And it's steep, right? It's severe, especially for us. Because we live in a culture that is almost entirely opposed to this idea. I don't know, this idea, it's not an idea, this is the challenge, right? Is that this is what it looks like to participate in the life of God, is to say, I've received eternal life. I've received, God is enabling me to share in his own life. And in fact, what he had to do in order for that to be the case, right? I mean, the suffering and death of God's beloved son is what has redeemed us. It has bought us back from our slavery to sin and our idol shaped lives. We've been won back by the love of God, who now breathes his own life into us. What do we value more than that? But you see, if we really prioritize the love of God breathed into us, then we see that our lives are made simply to be given away. Yeah, so everything we have and everything we are is meant to be given away for the purposes of God, right? For the advancing of his agenda. So, of course, you know, we could say maybe this is the fruition of the description that we see in the Acts of the Apostles of the early church. The community of believers was of one heart and mind, right? Or can we get there? How do we get there? How do we get to be a community of believers of one heart and mind? It has to be by looking at Jesus. It has to be by honoring him. I think to some extent by being bedazzled by him and the glory of the resurrection. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they had everything in common. With great power, the apostles bore witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. This is part of how they bore witness, is how they lived, right? They lived a very different way from the way that the people around them were living. They bore witness to the resurrection of Jesus, and great favor was accorded them all. Of course, because they had nothing but God, right? And so they lived as people possessing God, which means that they were giving themselves away. You know, they were living according to the plan and purpose of God. The very gift that the resurrection enabled for them to live according to God's plan and purpose, to no longer be enslaved by their own idolatry, the bonds of that sin had forged in their lives. No, they were now freed for the true and living God. They could worship him with everything they've got. They could serve him, live so as to pour themselves out in his service. So this is it, okay? Now this is, you know, in the gospel where we get some of this, you must be born from above. Because, you know, nothing about being born into our world, or say being a child of the age or of the world, a child of our age, child of the world, or whatever it may be, nothing about that is going to have us live according to, say, the description that Jesus gives, right? You must be born from above. He said, the wind blows where it wills and the rest, but you do not know where it comes from, where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. So I don't know, if people were to look at us from outside and say, actually, yeah, I can predict, like, this is what's going to happen with this person and this person. Because we're just children of the age in this sense, right? We also are kind of moved about by the whims of our world. Or is it that we're moved by the Spirit and then we become wildly unpredictable? This is like, you know, this is what I want to claim for myself. Do you know, it's like, okay, my being wildly unpredictable is a matter of my being born from above, right? It's like, okay, maybe not. But our lives probably ought not make sense according to the ways of the world. And the people of the world ought not look on us with like easy understanding. Like, oh yeah, I get it. I get why that guy would do that. No, we want people to look at us and go, I really have no idea why that guy would do that. You say, well, he's possessed of the Spirit. That's why he's doing that, right? I mean, I remember, I think it was Malcolm Muggeridge who had one of the great biopics of Mother Teresa, right? And the cameraman following around one of Mother Teresa's sisters. And she turns over a man who's lying in the gutter. He's full of maggots, and she's scooping them out, right? And the camera, I'm sorry to do it so early in the morning, but I have to do it, yeah? And the cameraman says, I wouldn't do that for $1 million. And she turned and said to him, neither would I. Right? So what is the motivation, right? What is the Spirit-led life? What does it look like? I mean, that's wildly unpredictable. Right? That's charity doing what only charity can do. Right? And this is the life that we're to have then. So the beautiful thing here is that, of course, you know, I could go line by line with you. I'm not going to do it, but I could, out of charity, I'm not going to do it. But we could go line by line and see, you know, the effect of charity, the effect of the Spirit, and what it will look like for us to be possessed of the Spirit. But what you would see line by line is that God is taking the initiative. So I'm really not asking you today to drum up in yourself desire to do all the many things that I've just said they were doing and that perhaps we ought to be considering. What I'm saying is you have to give space for God to do what he wants to do. Yeah, and what God wants to do is he wants to breathe his life into you. He wants to animate you, right? He wants to invigorate you with his own life of love so that your whole life can be love. And then I think we're beginning to take our step on that unpredictable journey, right? That the journey of great joys, no matter what comes, because we also are possessed of the Spirit. We also are driven by charity. We also are agents of God's undying love for his world.